What's up, everybody? This is Moonshine Shotgun Mulligan Podcast, sitting here with my boy CC Stats. The new year, brother. How's it going over there?
Happy New Year, folks. Shotgun Mulligan Pod is back, and we're ready to rock and roll, just like the PGA Tour.
We're ready, man. Dude, yeah. Moonshine's opening events in a couple weeks, dude, so I'm juiced.
The Farmers Insurance Open, and unfortunately, it's going to be the last year of the Farmers Insurance.
I think my wife might be in Sunny Sandy on Farmers Weekend.
Oh, nice.
She's going to see Leanne here at the end of the month because your boy's going out to Sandy in March for a little conference.
Nice.
I might have to do a little Torrey North. So me and Craig's been kind of going back and forth. Callie Craig, for the people that listen to the pod, that lives in sunny San Diego. We're going to hit up Ramsdale, we think, out in Borrego Springs. That course looks freaking nuts. He's like, it's the best, one of the best courses they ever played. It is a little bit of a haul, but he's willing to do it for me because that's the only one I haven't played out there. And then I was thinking the other day is I've done Torrey South, but thinking of doing like a Twilight of Torrey North.
There you go.
And that'd be tight.
You haven't played the Crossings.
The Crossing, yeah, the Crossings is, it looks sick too.
I've played the Crossings.
Yeah, because Trackman and Callie Craig play the Crossings at a good time. It looks sick too. That's in Carlsbad, right?
Correct. Not too far.
Nice.
Legoland's not far away.
I mean, I might have to stop by Callaway and see if we can get a sponsorship.
There you go.
But yeah, how's the new year going, man?
It's going good. Your boy is what's today? The 11th. Your boy is dry for 12. Oh, I guess almost 12 days. Dry.
You're doing the dry ski.
Dry.
Huh?
Your boy is dry. Not a drop.
Just dry as can be.
I'm impressed. I'm gonna be honest, folks. I didn't think I could do it. Saturday last week, I thought I was gonna get the shakes a little bit. I had an inkling. Wife had a little glass of wine, and I was like, nope. I'm gonna stick to it. My man Moonshine did it last year. Your boy Trackman or CC Stats gonna do it this year.
I like it, man. Congrats. I flipped the script, so I'm like you last year, where I'm doing a damp January. So my wife and I is like, we're dry unless there's like we can claim it's a social event that you can have like a drink or two. And even like when we drink now, it's like during January, the only time we've only drank like once. It was like, we're trying to drink a little less, you know, trying to be a little more healthy, you know, prove to yourself that you're a good individual and you're not a degenerate all the time. Right. So, but this is a social event. Cheers. We're social. We're on Zoom. Social. Well, it's going to be on social media later. So
well, your boy's on it. I'm going to show this to you. This is some good stuff. And hop water, if you're listening, this is my new go-to non-alcoholic. Have you heard of hop water?
Yeah, I've heard it. Dude, Lagunitas makes a hop water that's silly.
It's a hops for all. I tell you what, I like it. It's a little pricey, I'm not going to lie, but hop water lime. I've had the hop water lime and the hop water blood orange. Good stuff. So
that's the key to, so if you're going to do the dry January, you got to have a substitute, right? Like, at least for me, I have to have a substitute. Not that I'm doing full dry January, but I am trying. But I'm not committing to the bit as much as you are this year, like I did last year. But having a substitute drink, it's like having a tea or having a coffee, or, you know, coffee during the day, obviously. But like tea at night for me was the thing.
Yep.
Coke Zero, probably not healthy either, but it's at least something that gives you the kind of bubbles, a little caffeine. Attaboy Stats, just trying to find your substitute.
I do like sparkling water. Some, you know, are a little heavier. They got a few more bubbles in them. This, I don't feel like it's a little bit lighter. It's also got a blend, three times of hops. It's got ashwagandha in it and some kind of something. I can't pronounce it. For mood and cognitive performance. So,
all right,
here's to a new me in 2024 and my cognitive performance.
You're just sharp, dude. You're going to come out with all the stats today.
Let's go.
Hey, but Moonshine, so Moonshine's doing the damp January, not the dry January, but your boy's been ketoing it.
Oh, good.
Straight up just crushing my kidneys. But I have dropped 7 pounds. Your fatty boy is getting some pounds off.
Your boy here is about ready to start.
I am hungry. I'm eating a lot of bacon.
Your boy here is about to get his noom back on. So
The little psychology in terms of the weight
yeah,
loss, right?
I've done it before, and your boy's determined to get down to 185 from
your
210.
boy. Wow. I see. I got to get down to my fighting weight. My dude, you know what's annoying? Multiple things. Okay. One thing is we're getting fucking old because we're talking about like doing our diets, drinking less, all these kind of things. Dude, when you're like 20 years old, I literally could eat everything I want to. Dude, up until like a couple years ago, it's just like, oh, what is it with metabolism? It's like you are going through life, everything's great. You could eat whatever you want, yep. Work out as much as you want. You do more exercise, sure, you'll look a little bit more fit. But if you're not working out that much, whatever, it's like you're not gaining a whole lot of weight. And then it's like a switch. You're like, boom. It's like, you get like an extra 20. And then it's hard to take it off, man.
I didn't step on the scale from Thanksgiving until last week. And I was like, ooh. And it wasn't terrible, but it was probably like 10 to 12 pounds more than I was before Thanksgiving. And obviously not drinking any alcohol over the last week has helped. I knocked about 4 or 5 off. The problem is, and I've been pretty good this week with my food intake. The problem is it's the sweets. Like I get a craving like 7:30, 7:45. So I got to curb that craving. If I can curb that, I think I'll be all right.
See, dude, I'm telling you with the keto thing where you kind of are like no sugar and carbs, basically. I mean, it's like 30 grams of carbs daily is kind of supposed to be your max.
Mm-hmm.
That's nothing, dude. Dude, you realize how much carbs are in shit?
Yeah.
I'm like, oh my God, I would get home from work and eat probably 300 carbs. Like you just get home and start crushing cheese puffs. You kind of don't think about it. I mean, shit, you look at the bag and it's like you're freaking 35 grams. Per like serving. A serving's like a handful. It's like, what the hell? I don't know we're running a nutrition podcast. But I mean, it's like
all I'm gonna say is your boy's trying to be nice and svelte when we go to the Masters here in April. That's all.
Dude, we're gonna be looking fresh.
Have to
rock a little like 1987 right here.
That's right. 1981.
Oh, it's one. Shit. It's damp.
Sorry,
January.
Coach.
It's damp January, dude. The one looked like a 7 to me.
Anyway, enough about our drinking and non-drinking
habits.
Hold on.
I got the second shitty thing. Oh. It's just two
you
points,
like,
all right?
Things so, Moonshine so doesn't like,
We'll
folks.
Make it quick. The stomach flu.
Oh.
Fuck the stomach flu. Like, that is Jackson earmuffs, but F the stomach flu. I had it last week. Nothing makes me want to die more than the stomach flu. Like, I literally, someone could be robbing my house, telling me that they're going to blow my head off. And I would be like, I don't care. My stomach hurts. And I'm just going to shit my pants in like 5 minutes or throw up. Like, you just feel so bad. Like, what is it, dude, with the stomach bug?
I have never, knock on wood, I've had it before, but it's been a while, like probably 7 or 8 years. And you know, and I work in a school, so I'm just prone to something all the time. But I got dry hands. Like I wash my hands nonstop, but the stomach flu, like I think the one time it hit me, it did hit me pretty hard, but I've never really had it to where it's like my stomach and I'm wanting to vomit and shit my pants and everything else. It really hasn't hit me that bad.
So it wasn't as bad this time as it's been in the past, but I mean, it did keep me out of 2 days of work, which sucked because, you know, it's like, I don't like to take off work, even though work sucks. But when I had one last year, dude, I get one annually. It's like these freaking kids running around like a damn cesspool. It's like my son gets home. He like craps one day and then I'm like dead for a week. It's like, what the hell is it with like kids' immune system? They're like
they're
running
resilient.
Around. They're like, hey, my stomach hurts. They shit their pants and they're like, okay, I'm good. Let's roll. Let's play Candyland. Dude, I just, that's seriously, that fucking grinds my gears. That's like my pet peeve of the worst things in life is literally a stomach bug. And yeah. I've had it so many times. Like it's annually with these children, dude. I just can't. I can't keep up with life.
They'll get out of it a little bit.
I hope so. But you do usually lose a little weight with the stomach bug. I guess that's the only silver lining, but it is hell.
Oh, it's hell. Yeah. It's no good. No bueno.
So good.
No bueno.
All right, that's my two grumps of the day. But other than that, I'm happy for the new year. Other than the stomach flu, your boy, it's a damp new year, so I'm still enjoying it, the social event. Sitting here with my boy talking golf. So let's get into golf stats.
Get into
man.
It.
Dude,
what's
we
new?
There's just a lot of stuff that's new. We've been off for about a month, hanging out with the family. You know, we do the holiday thing. Usually in the summer, we take a little bit of a break too. We had a nice interview with Harrison Endicott, man. That was cool. Kind of to tease the next season coming up. He finishes out, wins his the Q School event. That's pretty awesome. Like, congrats to Harrison, first, technically our first PGA sponsored event winner. You know, we've had some Korn Ferry Tour winners at times, but congrats to him. But man, a lot of stuff going on. So like, you send me, let's start with this one. We just started kind of talking about this off air. You send me this video. TaylorMade comes out with the classroom setting QI10. So they're coming out with this new driver, their new series. Dude, the nerdiness to that video is like on another level, but I loved it.
How
cool was that?
When we post this, I think we need to post the link, the QI10 video link.
Oh, I'll put a little clip. I already like recorded half the thing.
That thing was watching, first of all, watching the nerdiness. Like I texted you last night, if you want to nerd out, watching Tiger and Colin Morikawa and Scottie Scheffler, first of all, Scottie Scheffler, I don't think I realized was that tall. Like, I think Tiger's like 6'1", 6'2". Scottie Scheffler looks like he's like 6'7".
Yeah, he's a big dude.
hearing Charlie Hull and like all of them just chatted up about all the things that they like and disliked about the previous driver and da da da. I was literally just like, wow, this is impressive.
Yeah,
it's like a nice classroom setting.
Yeah, it was kind of some of the comments, they're kind of like seeing the pros a little awkward in terms of like answering, but also then they would get into their response and it's like, whoa, that's like super technical. And then the dude from TaylorMade nerds out and breaks down the difference. They show the difference of the carbon driver, the prior one, the stealth versus the new one. So someone hits a like high toe shot. And their face, you know, gets yanked wide open. So, because and of course the pros, they're like, oh yes, the face is going to go open. It's like, I don't know that's going to happen, you know, because we're freaking amateurs. But they know exactly what shot that would end up with or what the face is going to do. And then they show the new QI10 driver, and this is not a sponsorship for this new driver, but it was pretty cool how they break it down. So they said the same exact point of contact. And then the club face does not really yank wide open as much. So this is like, it's just like a much smoother impact into the ball. And then the graph that was also cool where they showed like the years of the driver with the inertia or whatever, how you got like really low settings and how they've worked over the years of how some of them weren't as good of a inertia kind of incline, but then you get this new driver that they're trying to reach this like new level. But that was pretty cool, man.
How about Tiger? He's like, where's the burner? Where's the one burner?
Yeah. He was asking for like the ancient burner. The guy was like, what, like the one after the bubble? He's like, no, like the one before the bubble. I had the bubble and I had the what was the fire that was like fire something before the right after the first bubble. It was the first bubble, and then there was like a fire. I forget what it was, man. I broke the head off of one of them, but it was, dude, I've always loved TaylorMade drivers. They make fantastic drivers.
They do get well.
Moment of inertia. Who can define what that is? I'm going to pick on somebody.
It's going to tell you.
The amount of energy the club has transfers into the golf ball.
It can have an effect on the energy transfer, absolutely.
Is it an amount of weight behind how far behind the face, the actual stability of the face?
100%. So moment of inertia is essentially the resistance of the object, in this case a driver's, resistance to twisting on an off-center shot. And so, you know, when you think about forgiveness, there's a feeling you get. There's more than a feeling. It's actually something we can measure. And it's both heel to toe and high to low. Those are the most important measures of inertia. And so we're going to talk about that number. It's a metric of grams per centimeter squared. You don't have to remember that, but essentially it's the resistance to twisting on off-center shots. And so to put it in perspective, over time, the inertia of drivers have gotten higher and higher and higher. but we've actually plateaued for a bit. And I want to show you sort of, I'm going to show you an image. If you guys don't mind looking at the screen over here, this is a stealth driver. Now this is an impact location, about 19 millimeters on the toe, pretty fast ball speed here. What's going to happen when that impact happens? What do you think?
Twist wide open.
Twist
open, yeah.
Yeah, okay, let's take a look. 12,500 frames a second, nothing missed here. Thoughts on that? Anybody, any reactions?
Hope that's not a tour player.
Yeah.
Good.
Is that your toe cut?
Okay.
I was a little scared. I was number five, and I'm like, oh my God.
Maybe it's me?
How many people, well, first of all, when you hit a toe shot, now that's further on the toe than most of you hit it, but do you get that feeling in your hands?
Yeah, it vibrates way more, but usually you see a divey left ball flight.
Now, how many of you see shots like that in your pro-ams?
Yeah, a lot.
Sometimes.
Too many times.
It's pretty dramatic, right? In a very small moment in time, that the face opens, the loft increases, and if we have the right curvature of the face, you can counteract that movement because it's going to happen on every driver.
Yeah. Where did the ball go?
So the yeah.
It's gotta be a high slice.
310 down the middle.
High slice.
High slice.
But when I hit it, it's literally a dive hook left.
Right.
Well, you hit everything right to left.
Yeah, that's not true.
That's not true.
What I want to explain from this point forward is what we had to do essentially to counteract this, and the quest that we've been on essentially for the last few years, which is to increase the stability of the head, increase the inertia, but to do it, we have to do things differently. First and foremost, we have to get to the point where we're using these really exotic, lightweight materials and more of it, because you have to free up the weight. That's the first part. And so you'll see this, the new Infinity Crown of the driver. I'll pass that around so you get a sense for like how light that is. 6 layers of carbon fiber.
That's light.
Super light. Oh, wow. 9 layer carbon sole. We'll go this way. Carbon composite ring. You've already felt the face.
It's amazing it actually stays together.
Is it surprising?
And that's insertion of the back weight, right?
Yeah, so the back weight, so that's the next part, is you're gonna take all the weight that you've saved and concentrate it in areas to increase the stability of the head. So this is a tungsten weight, it's about 32 grams.
It's heavier than you think.
Got lots going on there.
It's really heavy.
I felt like you could break that top piece.
Right.
I was trying to give it to you.
It's carbon composite, yeah. Yep.
Can you break?
Try. Pretty hard to do.
I would be careful.
Slice my finger. No.
Yeah.
And so, the first step is to free up the weight. Use all these materials. The second step is to concentrate and put that extreme weight in the corners of the head. And the last thing is to experiment with shape. And so there's a shape that you all really primarily like, which is something we've been making for quite some time. But to really push the envelope of inertia and forgiveness, you have to change that shape dramatically. Now, what happens when you get increase in inertia? When you look at the history of our company over time, I can tell you for the first time in our company history, we're gonna hit 10,000 inertia, which is a big accomplishment. Both in the industry and certainly for our company. If you go back to 1979, you see sort of some of the generational drivers that have shaped the golfing world over time. Some of those maybe pop out to you, but you can see the stability over time. Year on year, there's never been a gain bigger than the one.
Where's the tour burner in there?
Tour burner would be
it's pre-bubble.
Right after the burner 09, before rocket balls.
What was the white one? You know, the white face.
Yep.
No, I'm talking about the tour burner, like the tour preferred.
Oh, yeah, tour preferred. That's
pre-bubble, right?
Yep, 92 before tie bubble. Yeah, okay. Kind of below the 4,500 range. Yep.
Twist the flex shaft.
Yeah. Over time, there's this increase where we're focusing on forgiveness, Maybe we sacrifice speed, or in some cases we may get it together. When we get to the multi-material, you see another jump sort of in 2016, 17, 18. And then we focus on speed injections and all sorts of things like that, sim, aerodynamic shaping. Now stealth came in, inertia came down a touch, but you had this better energy transfer, a different metric, a different variable happening. And then again, year on year, this last year to next year, never have we had a gain as big as the one that we're about to experience. Any other drivers that are nostalgic up there for you?
R7.
R7?
R7, yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. M2.
It's amazing when you think how good the M2 was, and you look where it is on that light.
Wasn't there an R5 and then R7?
There was an R5 in there as well, yeah.
I remember hitting that one in Germany one time.
Oh, the R510 TP.
Uh-huh.
Remember that?
Yes.
Yeah.
That was a good driver.
That was a really good driver. That was hot.
So if you think about it over time.
For the time.
Yeah.
You weren't asking for more inertia. You weren't asking for more stability, but you're playing it when you saw the benefits of it over time, whether you knew it or not. Yeah. And so we are definitely taking a leap here to an area that you're probably not ready for, or some golfers aren't, but a lot of them are. They are definitely lining up for it. So what does it look like? What does it mean? This is a number.
You mean we're not ready to hit it further and straighter?
Are you?
No.
Why would you want to do that?
So if you think about what that means to the golfer, if you take that same shot, all right, now we're looking at the 2024 driver.
That's still 19
millimeters. 19 millimeters on the toe.
How consistent is this guy striking it?
Very good. What happens at 12,500 frames a second? At 10K?
It's more than half.
It's not better.
Yeah.
That's 19.
Still needs to work on his release.
How does that? What is 19 millimeters off? How far off the toe? Just so I know, like, make sure I'm not.
Yeah. So you're talking.
It's a lot.
1.9 centimeters. It's like.
It's a lot.
So you can see.
It's a lot for Tiger. You can see
where
for us.
You can see where the score lines are. It's just inside here, right?
Okay.
Right there.
All right. Yeah. I've seen T marks there.
You can see where the score lines are. So when you look at it side by side. Let's just see here, right here, so you can get more of a flavor of the difference between just over 7,000 inertia on the one on the left and 10,000 inertia on the one on the right.
So if you throw more weight than more than 32 grams in the back, would that be less twist as well?
If you put more weight in the back, it would be even less twist.
Less, yeah. MOI would be higher?
MOI would be higher. Now, you're trying to balance.
Yeah.
You have to balance the launch conditions and everything, the playability of the product as well, right? What do you think happens when you get something on the right side there versus the left side, performance-wise?
Increase in distance.
Dispersion, way better.
100%. So do you think many golfers that you play with or even yourselves could benefit from something like that?
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
They do good. Well, and obviously TaylorMade has released their new QI10. And everybody's put all their stuff out, Ping and Callaway and PXG. We haven't touched on this, and this came out last month before Christmas. Kirkland got their new driver out there too on the market.
They do, and then they got their performance irons. That
performance irons are out.
They're running. Restocked? They're running like 600.
499.
499. Wow.
499. And I think the driver was 190.
That's pretty awesome. Could you imagine? I do want to see like their specs, you know, because if their specs aren't that far off, you know, of the other top drivers, like why don't you spend 190 on this Kirkland driver and then spending, you know, 600 bones on the new driver? I never pay for new drivers. My thing is the freaking Golf Galaxy sales rack for drivers or woods, and even most wedges. Like I'll ask for a Vokey one Christmas here and there, but for the most part, I replace my wedges and my drivers just from the sales rack. Because you get good stuff. You get last year's version for like half the price.
Neither's Trackman. Trackman, I didn't pay for his last driver either.
Yeah, that's true.
All right, we got here. The Kirkland Signature Adjustable Right-Handed Driver is $199.
Wow. Are they available now? Or are they still like out
looking,
of stock?
The driver is available on the website right now.
That's crazy.
I'm looking for the irons. Got a ton of Callaway stuff on here.
The irons look slick. They look pretty. They made them pretty nice. Like, I mean, they look kind of, they look pretty slick. They look kind of small though, you know? I don't know. The face looks kind of small, but we'll see. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't see the irons on here. I see Pro Launch, but no Kirkland. But they were in stock. But $199 for the driver. I mean,
that's fantastic.
It's a great deal, and we all know that there's some big name manufacturer that made it.
Right. Yeah, you just throw Kirkland on the thing, and then it's just that.
True temper, even flow, riptide shaft, 10.5 degree loft. So you can get 10.5 degree loft, and you can adjust it to 9.5, 10.5, 10.5 draw, and 11.5.
That's sweet. I mean, because dude, like the difference for us between that, if it grades out decent, I know the Kirkland balls, except the one that, what is it, like the three piece is decent, yeah. But the two piece is crap, I guess. But like, if it grades out decent, like for an average golfer, like don't spend like $3,000 on your set of clubs. Like go freaking to Costco and get these clubs if they're actually grading out. I mean, TrackMan loves the wedges and the putter, and
yep,
he hits them just fine. So I mean, it's just it's know your effing club, courtesy of Cecil Golf Trip. Know your effing club.
But yeah, man, new clubs are out there. I tell you what, watching all these new clubs drop this week, it's getting your boy CC Stats pondering. Might have to reach out to somebody that I know. Might be time to get priced out some new irons.
Attaboy.
You can get the little hooks. You can
get a little discount.
We'll see. I got to send that email and just kind of gauge like, hey, how much would they be? And then I can start saving some pennies a little bit. And then maybe summertime I can get some new irons. So
you'd come in with West Virginia team next year and just have some fresh sticks.
Yeah. Yeah. I did see new Ping driver. The new Ping driver looks fire too.
Does it?
Yeah.
Dude, I like Ping clubs. I played my Ping irons for over a decade. They're real forgiving clubs. You know, the Ping makes a pretty awesome, forgiving, bouncy iron. I love this, dude. We're just getting into the nerdy clubs.
Ping irons have never been my favorite, and which is why I stayed away from the driver until when I
worked. Why do you not like them? Like just the way they look, or
yeah, sight line. I mean, maybe now they might be different, but the old school style ones, sight lines and feel like I hit them a couple of times. I just didn't. But here's the one thing I will say about people that have bought Ping: they usually stay with Ping. It's kind of the same thing. Mizuno. Like I had my two sets of clubs that I've had have always been Mizuno.
The Mizuno folks stay with Mizunos, dude. I don't know how like hard this kid at Golf Galaxy was geeking out trying to get me to get the Mizunos, because I did demolish them, but I didn't hit them straight very often.
Well, and that's,
I was like, it's like they were more bladey, and he's like, you just got to try these Mizunos. He goes, you're gonna demolish this, and I was like crushing my 7-iron with them. Like the dispersion was worse. I was hitting like a high cut. But I was just crushing it. He's like, oh my gosh, dude, your distance is unreal with that. But I'm like, dude, this is not. I was like, I'm looking for consistency, dude. I was like, I've always been able to hit the ball decently far, but like literally I'm trying to hit the ball straight.
Yeah, I feel like I would probably lean more towards Mizunos now, but with what TaylorMade's done with their irons, I do like the look of some of the Titleist irons. So we'll see. I don't get... The person that I want to email might not be able to give me the hook on the other clubs. I can only probably get the hook on the ones that I currently have. The Mizunos.
Gotcha. The Mizunos. So, you got the Mizuno rep, huh?
Let's move on from clubs real quick, because obviously the PGA Tour started last week at the Century, and shout out to Chris Kirk for winning that. But we got to talk about this. Jason Day left Nike. Tiger Woods left Nike. Now, we don't know what Tiger's going to be, so we're going to put that off to the side until he gets to LA in about a month. What in the holy hell is Jason Day wearing? What is Malbon doing? They brought back this 1990.
It's trendy stats. They're just going on the
back. Is it that trendy? I said to my wife, I showed my wife a picture. I was like, she goes, it's trendy. I go, so are Carpenter jeans back in too? Do I start wearing my jeans?
I think
back
so, here? Dude. It's like we're old men, but I think that haven't you seen like these ladies wearing like the big, like the huge sweatshirts, like the huge stuff? I think that's like I think that's the coming around thing. Like, you know, I don't know, on this reality TV shit that I watch all the time with my wife, because it is actually interesting. But they got all the big clothes now, and the baggier shit's coming back. You know, I guess you had the mom jeans. I just hear from my wife, like the mom jeans were big the last couple years. I think I'm acting like I know fashion, but I don't. But you know, you see some baggy stuff coming back. I mean, I kind of want Tiger in the freaking baggy Nike day. You know, he's not gonna be a Nike, but like, you know how he had the baggy khakis, he had the freaking like polos that were just gigantic.
I saw Jason Day in his Malbon polo in the first round. I was like, God, it doesn't fit him the same. And then he wore, look, and I don't have a problem with designs on your pants, but I saw it and I was like, God. And then did you see this? I saw a picture. I didn't even see him wear the shoes, but he had the old school shoes with like the tassels on the front.
I think that's what that company's trying to do. Yeah, it's just trying to get like kind of the tackier, change the style a little bit. But yeah, it is kind of silly seeing everybody still in their like tight fit stuff. And then he's walking around in his baggy. The best was the memes with like the guy coming in like with his baggy stuff, like doing the like little walk coming up. It's like Jason Day coming up in his Malbon.
Well, and then I saw they signed Charlie Hull.
Yeah. Yeah. So they got Charlie too. And then what's his name? Minwoo Lee.
Minwoo Lee signed with Lululemon.
Lululemon. Like, when have they signed? That's the first golfer they've ever signed. I don't even know they have. Are they coming out with golf gear? I don't know did they have golf gear?
I don't know.
Maybe I guess they're just branching out. I just need somebody to sign. I've been meaning to email my company, Free Fly, dude. They need to be in the golf beds business. Have you ever had a Free Fly shirt? This is not. Like full, like sponsor free. We don't get paid for nothing here, Stats.
Free Fly? Never heard
of Free Fly, dude. You got to look up this company out of Charleston, South Carolina. Promise listeners, this isn't an ad. I'm not getting paid nothing for this. But Free Fly, if you don't have a shirt from them, Free Fly, I get like 2 shirts a year from them. Long sleeve, butter, bamboo. It's a fly fishing brand that come out with like sun kind of protective soft shirts. Thin, but where you can wear them like in the heat. But they need golf. Like I wear them golfing all the time because it's like a Peter Millar quarter zip. You know, it's like real soft. It's breathable. God, I should work for them, dude. It's like breathable, soft butter bamboo is their thing. But dude, just check them out, dude. Free Fly has great gear.
I'd probably wear a shirt that was breathable, soft, and felt like butter bamboo.
I mean, it's a good tagline. They always talk about their butter bamboo. And if you wash it correctly, which I haven't done with some of them, it stays really soft. Like, they're fantastic shirts, dude. They need to get in the golf game.
Jason Day and his Malbons. We'll see how that looks. Can't wait to see him later on. Tigers left Nike, which I guess we kind of heard rumblings in December. So now a lot of speculation. Where is he going? What's he doing? Like,
I think so. I've heard rumblings. It's like his own brand.
Well, I think it's going to be his own brand, but I think he's going to have to team up with a company. It's a big undertaking.
It is.
Jordan is part of the Nike brand.
Right.
But it's the Jordan brand. Jordan also has we've all seen the movie Air. Jordan has equity in Nike. I think, my guess is Tiger may have wanted some equity in Nike or a certain amount of equity. He probably didn't get it. And then he has somebody else out there that's offering him. I mean, could you see him go to a Peter Millar? Maybe. I can't see him going to Adidas.
I think I see him going to someone that he can get equity in. You know, it's just like, hey, give me equity and I'm going to come out with my Tiger Woods collection every year. And I think what Nike has learned with Jordan, I mean, Jordan's made billions off of his Nike equity. They lost a lot. I mean, they gained a ton from Michael Jordan, obviously. Like, it was worth their investment. Mm-hmm. But I think maybe they're worried about, like, splitting the pie too much with Tiger. See, then you got all the golf people buying all the Tiger stuff. Tiger's getting a cut. You got all the basketball folks getting the Jordan stuff. And then Jordan getting a big cut of that. So, I'm just speculating, but I think if he could get in with someone that has give him equity, I was commenting on Eastside Golf. They've been kind of getting a little bit more, attention. They got some pretty cool stuff in terms of their Jordan stuff. And, I commented back and I was like, you can see Tiger, and 'cause they're like, who's Tiger going to sign with? They're like, we'd love to sign him. and they put all their points of why they should sign him. It was a pretty cool reasoning and things like that, because these guys have kind of brought that company from like a startup, and it's been pretty successful.
Maybe Live Forever, which is Matt Every's brand.
Oh yeah.
You ever seen Live Forever?
Nah.
That's their logo. It's when Matt Every chucked the club.
Oh.
But they have a pretty solid following and pretty solid brand. I mean, their stuff's pretty legit. So you never know. I mean, he might be, it wouldn't surprise me if it's a smaller company,
mm-hmm.
because they can, all right, we'll give you equity because you're going to invest $50 million in us. Because you know he's going right. to invest in them too. Why wouldn't
And then he? Their company is just going to blow up. Yeah. I mean, even if it's a big company, whoever he signs with is just going to, all the golf clientele is going to buy Tiger stuff. They always have, you know. It's like, I mean, sure, I haven't bought Tiger stuff in a while, but back when I was young, that's all I wanted to buy. You know, I wanted the Tiger golf shoes. I wanted, you know, occasionally a Nike polo, Tiger, you know, that kind of stuff.
I did hear the TW logo is going with him.
Okay, so they gave it up. He must have had...
That's his logo.
Oh, that's his?
That's his logo. TW logo is going with him. And then I would be willing to almost bet $1 million if I had it, that red and black is still going to be his thing on Sundays.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't think he's going to stray from that. That's his thing. But it's just not going to be, obviously, your Nike mock turtle, you know, and with the black pants. But what about Charlie's company? Like, you think what's the company Grayson? He's like? Yeah. Like, I wonder if that he's working something with Grayson. I mean, Charlie's repping all their stuff, because they gave him a deal, right?
Already. They did. That's where Justin Thomas is too.
Yeah. So, I mean, JT, you know, JT and Tiger are boys, you know, you could see something like that. So maybe that was like Charlie starting this little deal with them. Maybe was a bridge for his dad.
Could be.
We'll see. And JT, you know, it's just like, maybe that was their end game. It's like, hey, let's get JT and offer something to Charlie, and then see if we can get Tiger to leave Nike.
I did like the memes or the picture of the Tiger and the Kirkland signature t-shirt.
Yeah, that was awesome.
That was great.
Could you imagine if he really did?
Costco. You thought Costco was busy now.
Everyone would be buying. You see Tiger out hitting Kirkland signature clothes.
$27.99 like polo.
He leaves TaylorMade for this sweet like QI10 driver that we've been talking about, and he's freaking hitting a Kirkland signature.
Oh, it'd be great
for the real
track
the real
would say, I told you so.
Exactly. Trackman should buy some equity. No, it's interesting seeing what this year is going to bring. And then before we got on as well, you know, when we do our show prep, I was talking about listening to some of the interviews with Pat McAfee with Phil. Yep. So I listened to pretty much that whole interview. I'll add a little clip to that, at least just so the listeners get a little bit in case they missed the clips of that. Fantastic interview with Phil. I mean, you know, I've had my criticism of Phil Mickelson, but I thought the cool part was him explaining what he would like some of the format in terms of the long-term investments of these different teams is like having a facility with all these state-of-the-art golf course, be able to bring in young talent, groom them, kind of like the European soccer football model, where they bring in the young talent, you know, like the David Beckhams when they're young, they sign them, they groom them, give them the best, you know, training, all that. That would be cool for golf. I mean, if they did that, because I mean, for years, it's just like, you know, stats, it's like if you're a country club kid and you can afford to go to David Ledbetter for the summer and you got your home pro like giving you lessons every freaking week and you're playing all the time, those are most of the guys that have succeeded in golf. Where it would be cool if there was like these team models and you got all these different hubs and you get some of these kids like the Tony Finaus or ones that maybe didn't have the country club lifestyle, and then they get them in one of these facilities and then they blossom them. That would be pretty cool.
I don't dislike it, but I do think like there is something to be said about college golf.
Yeah, I mean, that's all the
thing. I feel like then it would water college golf down to where you're going to be pulling these kids that are not going to play college golf. So I think there's something to be said about that. And obviously the NIL money that's out there for kids in college now, I think that's huge for golf. I think it's huge for all the sports. So I think, I don't know. I mean, I guess if you're good enough to go play and live at a young age and they have a facility, it is definitely going to draw more and more people to wanting to either try to strive for that or get that opportunity. And I do agree with you. Like there's some of these guys that didn't have the opportunities younger and they kind of had to grind a little bit more to kind of make it, like the Tony Finaus and some of those other guys out there. So there are some, I think there are some benefits to it. So.
But in the big picture, again, what I also see is like a team, let's say, is an opportunity to help young players that don't have access to the same type of support system that's necessary to be successful. And by that, I mean this. There's a lot of great young players that don't have access to the proper physical training or the proper instruction or the proper facilities needed to be their best. And as a team owner, let's say with High Flyers, years down the road, 5-10 years, I'll have a High Flyers golf course facility that I'll have world-class fitness training, world-class physical therapy, world-class instruction. And I will be able to bring in many young players and give them access to this training. And what will I benefit from it as an owner of the team? I'll have first right of refusal. So when they go out and they become a great player and they're winning majors, winning tournaments, I'll have the first right of refusal to sign him to my team. But I'll be able to bring dozens of young players in. And
Academy, this is the European Academy model. You know, bring them in, provide everything for them to become the best that they possibly can in the sport. That's huge. I had not heard that about the LIV Golf. Is that far away from now?
It's all part of the big picture. It's all part of the plan. Like I say, it's evolving. And so we want to create opportunities for young players to get involved in this. And as we start building this team aspect, each team will be able to provide those opportunities and benefit from them, hopefully long-term, by again, having the first right of refusal to maintain these players.
I wouldn't say Rory flip-flopped. I think Rory just is saying it how it is. Like, obviously Rory's been through a lot in the last year. He stood behind it. He didn't think LIV would be anything. Look, LIV took off and then Monahan did what he did. And I think Rory's like, screw you guys. This is why I'm leaving the pack board. And I feel like he's seeing the writing on the wall. I think that we've said this for a while. We thought there would be an agreement. I still think there's going to be an agreement. I'm really curious what the PGA Tour decides to do with this investor that they're looking at bringing in. Hopefully it allows the PIF to still be part of it, because if the PIF's not, man, I think it's going to be a war.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to see other guys leave. And I don't think that's good for the game of golf. And I don't think it's good for the PGA Tour. I think the PIF will have the upper hand. I think they'll have to change their model a little bit. And supposedly that's what I've heard, the rumblings, that there are some rumblings of them changing their model away from 3 rounds of golf to possibly 4. So,
yeah. Cause I think that they, I'm wondering if Rom has pushed the 4 rounds of golf thing, because there's had to been some concession that hasn't been talked about yet with Rom signing, because prior he was like, I don't like the format. He goes, I like what LIV's trying to do. And he's like, I'm not, you know, he was always a little softer on his stance than Rory prior, but, you know, still dedicated to the PGA Tour. But he's like, I just personally don't like their model, like the 3 rounds of golf, this kind of thing. So, I mean, I think that I get what they're trying to do with changing it up, but I think that they need to adopt the 4 rounds to give themselves positioning for official world golf rankings.
Absolutely.
And then that would even the playing field in terms of like, okay, the best people are going to get into the majors. You know, it's going to even that out. So then we don't have to have moonshine golf world rankings or these other ones like ESPN trying to figure out. It's like, okay, where are these guys actually at? Because it's been so off. But, you know, it's going to be cool to see. I really want to see LIV this year have a lot. I don't know if they have any plans for it, but I said it at the end of the year that if they have a few more of their competitive team versus team match play stuff, that's cool. Like that of their of their brand, of their style, was awesome. Like I did really enjoy watching that, whereas like the other events have been kind of background noise for me, kind of like some PGA events, like the non maybe the non-elevate events is how I've thought of the normal LIV events. But that the LIV at Doral, where I'm watching the match play, like that was cool. It was just like a carryover from the Ryder Cup. I'm like, this is awesome. Like this team has to win, you know, this match, they got to win this one for for Smash to win this. That was cool.
Well, I think the PGA Tour needs to do that too. Like they could take some of these lower tier events and turn them into a match play format. Even if it's for some of these guys that aren't, it's that, that it's a lower tier event or next level down below a signature event. You could do that with a like one or two other events, like it, make it a little, I'm not saying it needs to be a full on party atmosphere like LIV has, but I think you could make it a little funner. Like what they do with the Zurich where they have the walk up music. That's great. But I feel like you could do a little bit more.
Yeah. They can add a little bit. They can take, they, you know, all about competition. They need to take a little bit from their competitor and, and ingrain it in a way that is still the PGA Tour product, still cognizant of the history of the PGA Tour and the gentleman's game and all that kind of stuff, but also making it cool and fun and more accessible to people, which they've always struggled to do because it's been such a stiff sport and a stiff institution. You know, it's just like they haven't bent on a whole lot of things, you know.
Or better off, just work out an agreement and then get everybody to play together, and then you have one global tour. You have a global world, you have a world tour.
Dude, it would be fantastic because it's going to be, if it works out, it's going to be almost like the merging of the AFC, NFC stuff. You know,
people will go nuts. Their ratings will go up. The TV deal will go up. People will watch it.
It would be unreal. Could you imagine funneling the top talent? The top talent's playing the elevated events and the top talent is playing the team LIV events. And then you got all the young guys battling out, or the guys that are mid or lower tour tier guys that aren't in the designated events or LIV, and they're fighting to get up in there. Like that would be like, that's ultimate competition. It's like you got a Premier League team event, and then you got a Premiership tournaments, your designated historic tournaments. I think that's kind of the rhetoric that Phil and Rory are kind of getting at, because
has always been built on meritocracy. You shoot the scores, you rise up the ranks, and you get rewarded accordingly. And I think what's, in a way, what LIV has done, it's really, it's exposed flaws in the system of what golf has, because we're all supposed to be independent contractors, and we can sort of basically pick and choose what tournaments we want to play. But I think what LIV and the Saudis have exposed is, okay, well, if you have, you know, a tour and you're going and you're asking sponsors for millions of dollars to sponsor these events, and you're not able to guarantee those sponsors the players that are going to show up. Mm. You know, it's very hard. I can't believe they've done so well for so long. Yeah. So it's actually exposed some flaws in the system that hopefully golf will have a look at more. Okay, well, if we're going to ask these people for so much money, we need to be able to guarantee them what they're getting. And I think that was part of the stuff that we've been trying to do for the last 2 years, to figure out, okay, how can we basically try and bring the thing back together again and learn from some of the things that have happened and some of the stuff that LIV has exposed. And yeah, I feel like there was a way to do it where it wasn't going to be this massive disruptor to the game. And I think that's the other thing to me. It's like, it's created this massive upheaval in professional golf, which has been sad to see. And it's like, some people have taken one side, some people have taken another, and golf's a small enough sport. It's not like football where you've got billions of fans. So if you start dividing the eyeballs in professional golf, it's no good for anyone. It's just going to cannibalize itself. So
you know what I was going to say?
So basically, before we hit the break, it was basically the rhetoric, I think, is pointing that the two tours are going to join up. We're going to get a good new product of something huge is what the ultimate goal is, you know?
Well, yeah. And that's what I'm hopeful for. I think I've been more hopeful now than I probably was a year ago. I think we all are, but I am a little nervous because, like we talked, two sponsors have now left. at Wachovia. Wells Fargo rolled out sponsoring Quail Hollow, which is a signature event.
Right.
And now Farmers Insurance has said this is going to be their last year.
Do you think that they're pivoting and they're going to sponsor Live or what?
I don't think they're going to go sponsor Live, but I feel like that they, I don't know, just an opinion. Maybe they feel like we're going to take a step back and see what happens before we decide to jump back in. I don't know.
Well, and then just the thing that I think Rory said in his interview, it's like put a little bit of pressure on their sponsors in terms of really requiring them to offer like so much more cash, but then their the PGA Tour product, they can't guarantee these sponsors like, hey, like Rory's going to be there, Tiger's going to be there, Max Homa's going to be there. Whereas is Phil's argument, you know, they keep Liv keeps pivoting off all the stuff that the PGA Tour is failing on. And in his interview, he's like, well, we can prove exactly who's going to be there, you know, to the sponsors. You know, you're going to get all these players unless someone's hurt or something. But, you know, for the most part, you're going to get the product that you invest your money on.
Well, I guess the part that's a little concerning is these are longstanding sponsors. Both of them have been around a long time. I mean, it's not, I don't know, whoever sponsored, somebody who's been sponsoring a tournament 1 or 2 years. So yeah, we'll see. We'll see what happens. Hey, I wanted to share this with you. I think this is a great question to ask, and I'll ask you, and then I'm going to answer it. My buddy texted this to me. I'll answer it and tell you what I said.
All right.
You only get one.
All right.
$1 million, but never play golf again. Number two, you get a membership to Augusta National. Three, you get a PGA Tour card for 1 year. You get a Live card. Four, you get a Live card tour card for 1 year. Or number five, you get 1 year of coaching from Tiger. Which do you choose? So I chose to be a member at Augusta National because this is why. Let me see if I can find the text that I sent him. I told him, this is my buddy Aaron, so shout out to Aaron. I said Augusta because when I want to watch, I can wear a green jacket and I can play when I want. That's why I can always play golf. If I only got to play golf at one course ever again, even if that wasn't it, I could go be a member at Augusta National. Hell yeah.
Yeah, that's a no brainer, bro. The Augusta National. I mean, like, sure, $1 million, fantastic, but $1 million to not play golf the rest of your life, screw that. Seriously, it's like, yeah, it'd be nice to have a mill in my pocket.
I guess the only other one that I would possibly like having my tour card for a year, if my game was, if you asked me that question and I was a scratch golfer, maybe. But to be honest, like, that's not a fair question for me. The only other one that I was intrigued on was instruction from Tiger for a year.
Yeah, because I mean, that would put you at another level, but I think it would put us all at another level of an amateur golfer.
It would. And then I texted him right away and said Augusta, but I thought about it. I'm like, Tiger coaching me for a year. And I'm like, maybe, but like the grind and what I would have to do to get my game and to lower it even more. Like, I'm not saying it's not possible, but I was just like, no, like, I don't have to be a pro to play at Augusta.
Right. And I think if the adding two different other elements instead of like the PGA Tour card or the Live card would be ideal, because unless you're a PGA Tour quality player, those two don't even come into question. Because I mean, if you get on Live, I guess though the Live card would be a little bit of rebuttal, because
If you're on the four aces,
if you're on the four aces and you crush, you shoot an 80,
so.
You shoot an 85, and then you make freaking $20 million. But
then you get traded like Matt Wolf to Bubba's team.
Right. So, but the PGA Tour card, on the other hand, it's like you miss every cut, you know, it's like you're not going to get anything.
You're paying more than you're getting in.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
But 100% Augusta National, like I'd even bat an eye. The most exclusive membership you could ever ask for. Awesome relationships. Yeah, green jacket walking around. Yeah. See every Masters with the best seats. You know, you're just
maybe I could become the president of become the chairman 1 year and give my speech.
Right, exactly. I mean, there's so many perks. And you get to host all these, even the professional golfers that don't have a chance to play Augusta. that want to play it and that end up playing it, you get to host them, like, because they need a host to come play Augusta National. So
play the par three course, take all the plastic Masters Cups home when I want.
Exactly. See Tiger on the putting green and just like, once he's done grinding, maybe ask him for a tip or so, or just at least just, or not even ask him for a tip, just kind of small talk with him, with all the pros, you know. It's just, definitely Augusta National, 100%.
Yeah. I do have to shout out, and I know we don't typically mention other podcasts, but I got to shout out the Foreplay podcast. That video that they did with Tiger Woods, like, that's a once in a lifetime for them. And who knows, maybe it'll happen again, but that was just such a cool video that they got to do. Seeing Tiger Woods roast a drive from his knees was that unreal.
That was an awesome bit. I thought he was just literally going to just come out and just smoke one past Riggs, but that was pretty cool.
Well, he did smoke it past him, but he did it from his knees. I guess that, you know, I was listening to the podcast today, their new one. They were talking about it. And what's very interesting is that was November when they filmed that. That was before he said he was going to play in the Hero. That was before he played in the PNC. That was right, I think it was after he had caddied with Charlie when they did that, like middle of November. So it's like, for him to look that good with that swing and then do it from his knees, it's just unreal. And he was very candid with them. He shot the shit with them afterwards. It was a cool video. You don't usually see Tiger in that typical realm. I thought it was cool. It was cool for them. I thought their editing department did a great job. So shout out to those guys.
Yeah, I mean, that's an awesome accomplishment. I mean, those guys, they have some awesome parts of their podcast. I mean, they've done a lot of cool stuff. They've brought out some cool new elements to golf and got probably people interested in golf that weren't as interested. But yeah, shout outs to them. You know, Riggs and them have been grinding for a while. I thought, what is it, like, they've been doing their podcast for 8 years or something. Yeah. You know, obviously got an awesome backing by Barstool Sports. They put out some cool product, and those boys have ran with it. I mean, they've done some good stuff. Dan Rappaport has brought some cool elements to their podcast, with his inside, like, scoop. And then to have Tiger, the kind of all of our golf fans, that especially Tiger fans, to be able to interact with him kind of on a more casual situation was pretty cool for them, and to cut it up with him and just have him help him out and just have a good time. Props to them.
You know what? One thing though, the Shotgun Mulligan boys got on them Foreplay boys. We can get up and down.
We get up and down.